But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Let's open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you were willing to send your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are eternally grateful. We're thankful that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Help me now to rightly divide your word of truth as I teach on these vital biblical principles concerning your church. I'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome, dear friends. Again, this is Gerald Finney, lead counsel and assistant director of the Biblical Law Center. This week, in the first segment, I will teach on this topic. God desires Gentile nations to glorify him. I will also get into the topic, God judges nations, which I will finish in the second 15-minute segment. Of course, this all falls within the biblical principles concerning government. And of course, that falls within the overall theme of this program, separation of church and state. The biblical principles concerning separation of church and state. Let's get into the topic, God desires Gentile nations to glorify him. God has given to the Gentile civil governments freedom of choice. Many scriptures illustrate that God wanted Gentile civil governments to recognize him as who he is. For example, Exodus 7:5-17, Exodus 14:4-18, concerning Egypt, Ezekiel 25:11, concerning the Ammonites, also 25:14 concerning Edom, 25:17 Philistia, 26:6 Tyre, 28:22-24 Zidon, 29:6-16-21. Also Ezekiel 38:8-19-25, and 32:16 regarding Egypt, 35:4 concerning Mount Seir, 38:23 the nations, 39:6-7 Magog and the heathen. There are also many other verses in the Old Testament that deals with this issue. Solomon, in his blessing after dedicating the temple, said in 1 Kings 8:60 that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. David, within his last words, said in 2 Samuel 23:3-4, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. To Nebuchadnezzar it was said in Daniel 4:32b, they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So it happened, and so Nebuchadnezzar then, after being restored to his kingdom, in Daniel 4:37, extolled and honored the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, recognizing that those that walk in pride, God is able to abase. So Nebuchadnezzar came to be called the servant of Jehovah. We see that in Jeremiah 25:9, 27:6, 43:10. God judged King Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, because he did not humble his heart and lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven, and had not glorified God, in whose hand Belshazzar's breath was, and whose were all his ways, knowing what God had done to his father. You can see Daniel 5:17-31 on that. Darius, after seeing that God miraculously delivered Daniel when he was thrown into the den of lions, decreed, as we see in Daniel 6:26-27, that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Cyrus chose to serve God, We read in Isaiah 44:28 through 45:1. That said of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. God sent Jonah to cry against the Gentile city of Nineveh, for their wickedness had come up before him. We read that in Jonah 1:2. After Jonah went through the city of Nineveh crying, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. We read in Jonah 3:4. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. We read in Jonah 3:5. And God saw their good works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Jonah 3:10. Unfortunately, as we find in Nahum 3:1-19, more than a century later, Nahum delivered an unrelieved warning of judgment because Nineveh had fallen back into moral awfulness. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up a second time, God said, as we read in Nahum 1:9. According to Diodorus Siculus, the city was destroyed nearly a century later, precisely as predicted by Nahum. Thus God wishes each civil government to choose to rule for his glory under his precepts, that is, to establish free will for every individual while ruling under biblical principles, but not to enforce God's rules concerning man's relationship with God. Just as Belshazzar was without excuse in that he saw what God had done to his father, likewise rulers and civil governments today are without excuse in that the Word of God is available today for all to read and to know God's principles and his ways. Let me encourage you, as you read through the Word of God, that you begin to notice the teaching of the Bible concerning the topic, God desires nations to choose to glorify him. I think you'll be surprised at what you find. I'm going to leave that topic now and go to the topic, God judges nations. God does judge nations. He judged Israel by sending Israel and Judah into captivity because of their repeated failure, despite many warnings from God, to keep his commandments and his statutes. He warned them in advance of what he was going to do. See, for example, Jeremiah 25:11. His prophets repeatedly warned the Jews, not only of the consequences of their sins, but also pointed out their specific sins. Here are a few of the many relevant prophecies of warning to Israel. Hosea 4:1-3 says, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. The fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Israel was willfully ignorant. God said in Hosea 4:6-11, and I read a portion of those verses, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. God reminds Israel through his prophet Amos of all his judgments against Israel. And in spite of those judgments, we read in Amos 4:6-13, and I read partially, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. God wanted Amos to preach three things to Israel, that the people did not respect the preaching of the Word of God. Amos 7:10-16. Number 2, that Israel did not honor the Sabbath. Amos 8:5. Number 3, that they did not detest sin anymore. Amos 8:14. God also wanted Amos to tell Israel exactly what he was about to do. They rejected his message. In fact, they didn't even want to hear him preach. They rebelled at the message and the messenger. Let's go to Gentile nations. God also judges Gentile nations. He has given them their authority, as we see in Daniel 2:37-40 and many other places in the Word of God, and He will hold them to account. Psalms 9:17-20 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." Selah. Psalms 47:2-3 says, "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet." Read Psalms 135:6-12. I'm just going to read verses 6 and also verses 10-11. "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan." Read Psalms 136:17-21, which says in part, "To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever." And then many of those kings are named. Read Isaiah 10:5-19. There we find that God used Assyria to judge Israel and then judged Assyria for its pride in boasting that Assyria did this. I just have a few seconds left in this first 15-minute segment. Let me remind you that you can go to the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com. churchandstatelaw.com. And there you will find all of these programs archived. I have many resources on that website. You can also go to the blog page there and get access to all my articles and audio teachings found on Separation of Church and State Law, a blog on which I deal with all aspects of the issue of separation of church and state, with the issue of the church and its relationship to the state from a biblical point of view. Please join me for the second segment after the break.